As the other goblins finished the last of their meal, Jig hooked a finger through the rope, tugging it away from his windpipe. The rope was thin and light, but not even Trok was strong enough to break it. Their knives did nothing. Trying to loosen the knot only resulted in broken claws. The elves could work the rope as if it were nothing but string.
What's your fire spider doing?
Jig stared. Smudge despised the snow, but he had crept out of Jig's pocket and crawled down to the ground, climbing onto the edge of the cup Jig had dropped, the one with the elf beer. Six of Smudge's legs clung to the rim and handle. Smudge's head and forelegs disappeared into the cup.
Maybe he's thirsty.
Smudge was still drinking. Compared to muck, elf beer might be almost palatable. Better than pickles, at any rate.
Better work!
The human waved his spear at the goblins, then grabbed the end of the rope from the snow. Jig grabbed the cup and reached in to brush the bristly hair on Smudge's back. A puff of blue flame shot from the cup, singeing Jig's fingers. Smudge ended up falling head first into the cup. Jig squatted long enough to stick his burned hand into the snow. Smudge looked as sheepish as it was possible for a spider to look. He climbed slowly out of the cup and onto Jig's wrist. There, all eight eyes stared up at Jig. Slowly, he toppled into the snow. Jig hastily scooped him up with the cup.
How much of that elf beer did you drink?
Smudge curled his legs to his body. Steam rose from his back. The humans swapped their knives for rakes, and Jig joined the other goblins in dragging another pile of flowers away from the wall. He carefully returned Smudge to one of the larger pockets in his cloak, tossing the empty cup away. Jig worked with the other goblins, falling into an easy rhythm. Rake. Then sneeze. Another sweep of the rake. Then wipe his nose on his shoulder. If he stayed much longer, these flowers would be the end of him. The humans directed them to a different farmhouse on the opposite side of the road. From here, Jig could see other humans working on the wall beyond the gate. The human farmer walked out with his pitchfork. Jig slowed his efforts as they neared the farm, raking with one hand.
No slacking, runt.
With his other hand, Jig reached in to retrieve Darnak's flask. Before he could do anything, Trok snatched it away and unscrewed the top.
You've been holding out on us. Tastes like something that came from the wrong end of a carrion worm.
Jig fought a grin as he took the flask from Trok, then poured a bit of elf beer onto the rope. He did the same on the other side, then put the flask away and grabbed Smudge.
Huh?
Hey, what are you doing? If you're going to escape, you're taking me with you.
I can't.
You won't get far with a broken arm either.
Fine, give me a rope.
Ignoring the next goblin, Trok pulled his own rope into Jig's reach. Jig poured a bit more beer over the rope, then grabbed Smudge. He placed Smudge on the rope. Smudge listed to one side faster and faster until he swung down to dangle upside down from the rope. One pair after another, his legs gave way and he dropped into the snow. Jig picked him up again. Smudge promptly scrambled up Jig's sleeve and set it on fire. Jig patted himself out, and Smudge fell again.
No more elf beer for you.
The other goblins slowed in their efforts so they could watch Jig. They didn't realize what Jig was trying to do, but a drunken fire spider was more entertaining than anything else they had seen since leaving the lair.
Make him fall off the rope again.
Jig wrapped his hand in the edge of his cloak and grabbed Smudge from the snow. He took the beer-soaked rope and yanked it down, choking Trok in the process. When he lifted the rope again, it burned with a merry blue flame.
Well, smells like burned hair.
Trok grabbed the rope on either side and pulled. Trok flung his rake into the snow.
Wait, we're still tied together.
Trok began to run, dragging Jig and Relka behind him. Jig barely managed to get Smudge back into his hood. He hoped Smudge didn't set it on fire. If any of the humans had missed Jig's attempted escape, the elation of the other goblins took care of that.
Get past the farmhouse!
Trock veered away from the farmer and his pitchfork. The farmer did the same, fleeing in the opposite direction. Jig grinned as he struggled to keep up with Trock and Relka. He craned his head to look behind. Several humans were running after them. The lead human tripped as a rake flew into his legs. Braff turned to Jig and waved. The farmer was running back toward the town.
Goblin escape! You on the wall! Fire!
The elf only needed to shoot one of them. Dragging the dead weight of a dead goblin would slow the other two enough for the humans to catch them. Jig watched as the elf drew an arrow from his quiver. Jig grabbed the rope on either side of his neck, then lifted both legs from the ground. Relka and Trock collapsed on top of him.
What are you...
An arrow thumped into the snow just ahead of them.
Praise be unto Shadowstar.
I don't see Shadowstar down here dodging elf arrows.
Jig crawled toward the farmhouse, craning his head to watch the distant figure on the wall. Jig pulled out Darnak's flask and gripped it in front of his throat with both hands. The impact flung him back into the snow, but by now they were almost to the farmhouse. Trock and Relka hauled him the rest of the way, ducking behind the corner of the building as another arrow buzzed past.
How did you do that? It's like you knew exactly where the arrow was going to hit. Did Shadowstar bless your vision so you could see the future?
No self-respecting elf is going to shoot someone in the chest. Not if they can make a harder shot to the neck.
At least I grabbed the arrow.
Good. You can use it to fight the humans with their swords and axes.
Trock's grin disappeared, and he handed the arrow to Jig. As soon as Jig recovered enough to stand, they were off again. They made for the trees, keeping the farmhouse between themselves and the elf. It didn't stop the elf.
Unfair!
And then they were shoving past branches and stumbling over roots and low-growing plants.
The tracks go this way!
Tracks!
Jig looked back. The snow was thinner here, but even Jig could see where he and his companions had gouged the snow with every step.
Go deeper into the woods. There are more trees, so there's less snow.
Jig tugged the rope, leading Trock and Relka to a long cluster of thorn plants. He tore his cloak and scraped his hands on the way through, but hopefully the thorns would slow the humans too.
Don't let them escape!
She never should have brought these monsters into our town to begin with.
The humans had spread out. They could send an entire line sweeping through the woods to make sure they didn't miss the runaway goblins. He didn't know how many of the humans were soldiers, but it was a good bet they all had better weapons than Jig's lone arrow.
Under here!
Jig hurried toward a small stream. The water was frozen, save for a thin trickle in the center. There were fewer trees here, but one was a fat pine with branches sagging to the ground. Jig crawled beneath the branches, then waited while Trock and Relka crowded in behind him.
Where'd you go, Samuel?
Stop for a rest.
Jig gripped the arrow with both hands. He could see the second human, Samuel. His legs, at least. Samuel had stopped less than a stone's throw from their hiding spot. He rested his weight on a large, double-headed axe. Trock pressed something cold and scaly into Jig's hand.
What's that?
Pinecone. I thought you could pour more of that elf piss on it and set it on fire, then maybe throw it at the humans.
You want me to use flaming pine cones against humans and their axes?
I got the idea from a story. Apparently, there was this great wizard, and he...
And the best he could do was set pine cones on fire?
Jig bit his lip as the humans moved closer.
Think they took the stream to hide their tracks.
Who cares? If you ask me, we should have cut them all loose. Better yet, take the axes to them. My little girl had nightmares all through the night after seeing those monsters.
I hear they eat their young.
Only if they can't get ours. And you better mind your wife, Virgil. You know how goblins lust after human women.
Genevieve's mad bringing them here. Who knows what kind of disease they're carrying? My cousin Frederick knew a man whose sister's husband got his arm scratched by a goblin. The wound spread and they had to take his arm at the shoulder. And if they bite you, you turn into one of them.
That's wolfmen, you idiot.
Doesn't matter. I'm not losing my arm to some stinking goblin.
Forget this. No sign of the goblins! We're headed back!
Jig couldn't believe it. Even as the humans turned and hurried back through the woods, he kept peeking around, waiting for an elf to pop out of a tree and shoot them.
Why are they leaving?
They're afraid of us.
What do we do now? Go back to the lair and rescue Gretel and the others?
We can't. Theodore used the rod to seal the lair.
Not to mention, Jig wasn't sure how to find his way back. The woods and the mountains were all so big.
Could you lead us to the lair?
Probably, or you'll be killed by whatever guards Theodore left behind. Or if he left the lair unguarded, you can sit around and starve to death.
What's wrong with him?
He's talking to Timothy Shadowstar. You can tell because his eyes cross a little. And sometimes, he drools.
You'll need help to save your people, Jig Dragon Slayer.
You mean Bella and her army of orcs and goblins? They could help us fight the humans.
This goes beyond the humans, Jig. Not once in my memory have orcs and goblins come together like this. An army of monsters. Something is wrong. Do you remember when I warned you about the pixies?
I remember that you nearly got me killed.
This is worse.
Of course it is. I don't suppose you'd be willing to tell me exactly what you're worried about.
I would if I knew.
I hate you, you know.
Shadowstar didn't answer. Jig waited to make sure the humans were long gone, then crawled out from beneath the tree.
Come on, we can follow the stream and...
Far downstream, Genevieve sat on her horse, staring at them. She looked as startled as he felt. Even as Jig watched, she kicked her horse into motion. Jig pulled out Darnak's half-empty flask and poured the remaining beer over the pine cone.
I thought you said that was a stupid idea.
It is.
Jig snatched Smudge from his hood. He poked Smudge with the tip of the pine cone.
Wake up, you stupid spider.
Smudge fell off the edge of Jig's hand. He dropped slowly, suspended by a silken line that ran from his backside to Jig's palm. Jig thrust the pine cone into Smudge's face. The pine cone burst into flames. Smudge plopped into the snow. Jig threw the pine cone as hard as he could. He was aiming for Genevieve's cloak, but the pine cone hit the horse instead. The horse reared back on his hind legs, and Genevieve tumbled to the ground. Genevieve tried to stand, then clutched her knee. She toppled onto her side, one hand holding her knee, the other reaching for her sword. Trock was already dragging Jig and Relka toward the princess. He extended his arrow like a lance. Genevieve reached her sword. A single swipe of her blade snapped the arrow in half. Trock leaped back. Genevieve stretched far enough to slice his arm, but the effort overbalanced her. She tumbled slowly into the snow. This time, she didn't get back up. Trock studied the broken arrow. Genevieve's sword had cut cleanly through the wood, leaving a nasty point. With a shrug, Trock raised it overhead like a knife. Jig grabbed the rope and pulled him back.
What are you doing?
She's faking to lure you close enough to kill. See? She's still holding her sword. And she fell with a good leg bent so she could push off and run you through.
How did you know?
Oh, yes. How did you know?
I fall down a lot. I've never landed as softly or comfortably as you did.
Great. Jig, help me throw Relka at her.
What?
Genevieve will stab her, but by the time she gets her sword free of Relka's body, I can kill her with my fangs and arrow.
Who?
Genevieve sat back, shaking her head.
Never mind. Kill me, and every goblin at Avery will be executed.
But we won't be at Avery.
Wait. Princess, we can either kill each other, or else you can let us go and limp back to town. Darnak can fix your leg.
If my brother were here, he would sooner die than bargain with a goblin.
Your brother is an idiot.
Ugh, true enough.
And what would your parents say if they lost another child to the goblins?
My mother would weep. Father would probably say something along the lines of, "I told you so." And then he would spend the next month in mourning, wearing nothing but black and talking more about his dead daughter than he did in all the time she was alive. He hates black.
You wear black?
It annoys my father.
Give us your dagger, and tell us where to find Bella's army.
Genevieve switched her sword to her left hand, pulling her knife with her right. A flick of her wrist sent the knife into the ground at Jig's feet. Jig grabbed the knife and sliced back and forth on the rope.
Did you really guide my brothers through the mountain?
They didn't give me much of a choice.
No, they wouldn't. To get so close, to actually find the Rod of Creation, only to fall to goblins.
Well, there were a lot of goblins.
Did they fight well?
Sure, dead goblins everywhere. It took months to clean up the mess.
Elf ropes. The knife will never get through them.
That doesn't matter. Smudge can do it.
Jig pointed to the sheath on Genevieve's belt.
Could I have that too? It's awfully hard to carry a knife otherwise.
Genevieve shook her head as she tossed him the sheath. Jig used Smudge to burn through their ropes.
Billa is on her way to Pottersville. Follow the road to the west for 5 days, keeping to the base of the mountains. Make that a week.
We're taking your horse, too.
What?
We'd be safer on foot.
Horses are faster. It's big enough to carry us all. We can ride in comfort like the humans. An axe in one hand, a spear in the other, cutting down anyone who dared stand in my way. Anyone I missed, my warhorse would trample into the earth.
Warhorse? Windstorm? Only if you swear to take proper care of him.
We don't need a horse, we can...
Come on! You two go around and distract him. I'll sneak up and grab the reins.
Genevieve grinned and moved out of the way.
Windstorm can be a little stubborn. If he won't run, all you have to do is dig those claws into his ear and twist.
He's running back to the road!
Don't let him turn back toward the town!
Trock threw a rock at Windstorm's head. He missed, but the horse veered away. They were actually making better time than Jig had hoped, running after the horse. Windstorm crossed into a farmer's abandoned field, which was overgrown with dry, withered vines. Dead, half-frozen orange gourds the size of Trock's head were scattered about like hobgoblin traps. No matter how closely Jig watched, he kept tripping over the rotting things. Trock crossed Jig's path, trying to get behind the horse.
Try to get in front of him! Keep him distracted while I sneak up and grab the reins!
Windstorm stopped to munch the plants at the edge of the field. Relka stepped into the road and raised her hands.
In the name of Jig Dragonslayer and his glorious god Timidus Shadow Star, I command Jita, halt!
Windstorm flicked his tail and began to relieve himself. Trock crept up behind the horse. His fingers closed around the reins.
I caught them!
Slowly, Jig moved closer to the horse.
Help me into the seat!
I think the humans called it a saddle.
Humans climbed into the saddles by putting one foot in the metal loop on the side and swinging their bodies up onto the horses' backs. But humans had longer legs than goblins. Trock came up with a novel solution to the problem. Relka dropped to her hands and knees, and Trock put one foot on her back. Pushing himself up, he managed to swing his other foot into the metal loop. Windstorm trotted a few more steps to eat another bit of snow-covered plant. Trock tried valiantly to hold on, but there was only so far his legs could stretch. He fell onto the ground, still clutching the reins with both hands. Relka's fury slowly eased, giving way to amusement as they watched. Trock dragged through the snow, flopping about like a broken toy. Trock tried to pull himself up and punch Windstorm in the head, but he had to release the reins to swing. In the time it took to recover his balance, Windstorm trotted easily out of reach.
Stupid horse!
I'm starting to see why the princess let us take him.
Trock leaped up and threw himself onto the saddle before Windstorm could move away. Trock scrambled to hold on, kicking his leg around and gripping the saddle with both hands. He straightened, and his triumphant grin faded. In his haste, he had managed to seat himself backward.
Oh, pixie farts.
Before he could straighten himself out, Windstorm reared back on his hind legs. Trock tumbled into the snow and dirt. Trock grabbed the front of Windstorm's saddle. With his other hand, he stretched up to grab the horse's ear.
Wait, I don't know if you should...
Think you can best a goblin warrior, do you?
The horse slammed his head into Trock's chest. Trock flew back as if he had been punched by an ogre. Windstorm reached down to nip Trock's ear.
Make him let go!
Windstorm had already released him. Trock grabbed his bloody ear with one hand, his other clenched into a fist.
Trock, wait!
What is it, Arund? You think you get to give the orders just because you got lucky with those pixies?
And the dragon, and the necromancer. Don't forget the old chief, Kralk, and the hobgoblins. Also, he's the one who saved you from taking Genevieve's sword through the belly. Personally, if Jake Dragonslayer told me to wait, I'd listen.
There are probably still some humans out looking for us. We'll need your help if we're going to make it to Billy's army.
Why?
Because there are a lot more humans out there. Look, even if you do manage to ride him, we... When you ride him. Well, it's still going to take a few days to get to Billy's army, right?
I suppose. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, none of us brought any food.
Slowly, both Trock and Relka turned toward Windstorm. After 7 days of smoked horse meat, Relka and Trock were beginning to look tasty. Jig was certain they were having similar thoughts about him. They crossed another bridge. Another bridge meant another treacherous crossing over icy wooden planks stretched between those unnatural arches. There was no railing or wall, only a row of taller stones to either side. The stones were grey and white, with dying grass and moss growing in the cracks. Beneath them, mud turned the thread of flowing water a strange reddish-brown colour.
I still say we should have killed the human. She attacked our lair, and you just let her go. Besides, the human lied to us. We've crossed half the world, and I've seen no sign of Pottersville or any army.
We'll find it. I walk through darkness and through cold. Tim gives me strength. He walks beside me. When I was hungry and alone, Tim gave us food. Windstorm was yummy. Trock wiped himself with toxic leaves. Jig's magic caused the itch to flee.
A hard-packed ball of snow and ice hit Relka in the face.
Next time, it'll be a rock.
If we had killed Genevieve, the rest of the humans would still be chasing us.
Jig glanced down at the icy river as he crossed the bridge. Glinting yellow eyes stared up at him.
Who are you?
Jig had never seen such a creature. She was slightly shorter than a goblin, with a long face that reminded him of a wolf or dog. Her armor was unique. She appeared to have taken a heavy blanket and cut holes for her head and arms. Scraps of metal were fastened to every part of the blanket. Bits of twine secured enormous iron hinges to her shoulders. Bristly brown fur covered her exposed skin. She carried a short spear, which she jabbed in Jig's direction. The gesture was less intimidating than it might have been, thanks to the fish still flopping on the end of the spear. Trock was the first to react. He grabbed Jig by the arm and flung him off the bridge at the creature. Jig slammed into her chest and they crashed to the ground together. Then the creature's feet shoved Jig back into the stream. Jig ducked as the creature swung her spear back and forth. She scrambled back to the riverbank where she threw back her head. Trock jumped down and tried to grab the spear. She dodged and smashed the shaft against his knuckles. She then swung the other end, smacking him in the face with her fish.
Take that, smelly goblin!
She did a triumphant dance, never taking her eyes from the goblins. Jig made his way to the edge of the ice. In the distance, Jig could hear others of her kind. Whatever this thing was, she wasn't alone.
Wait! Darnak said Billa had put together an army of monsters, goblins and orcs and worse. This thing is probably from that army.
This thing is supposed to be worse than a goblin?
Ha! Kobold! Stupid goblins!
Can you take us to Billa?
First you pay me, then I let you go find Billa's army.
What? Why should we pay a mangy dog like you?
Relka tapped his arm and pointed. Jig counted 8 more kobolds, with 8 more spears, running toward the bridge.
What kind of payment?
Metal.
As her companions arrived, she straightened.
Metal for everyone!
The rest of the kobolds came to a halt, pointing their weapons at the goblins. One wore a helmet made from an old pot. Another had armor made entirely of tarnished copper coins with square holes in the centers. A third wore a suit of arrowheads, with the metal points sticking out like animal spines. His fellow kobolds gave him a wide berth.
What's going on, Hissafa?
Smelly goblins won't pay.
That's not true.
So the smelly goblins will pay?
We did pay. We paid her lots of metal, coins and nails, and a dwarf shield. She didn't want to share.
Jig pointed back at the road.
She buried it in the snow so she could keep it all for herself.
Lies!
Lots of shiny metal, iron and copper and steel and brass.
Where? Where?
Back on the other side of the bridge. She made us close our eyes, so I don't know exactly where she buried it.
Hissafa knows.
That's right. Hissafa does know. She could show you.
No! Smelly goblins lie!
But it was too late. The other kobolds dragged Hissafa across the stream.
Come on.
The kobolds had to have been nearby to respond so quickly. Jig glanced over his shoulder, wondering what they would do to Hissafa. Would they believe her when she couldn't lead them to her stolen metal, or would they try to pound the truth out of her? And then he crested a low hill, and all thought of Hissafa vanished. They had reached Pottersville. Pottersville was built on the intersection of several roads, as well as that annoying river. One road led off toward the mountains to the north. Another bridged the stream and disappeared into what Darnak had said were elf lands. As with the town of Avery, Pottersville was surrounded by a low wall. From the look of things, it hadn't done much to protect the town. Whole sections were ripped down, with figures moving in and out like bugs. Big bugs, with swords and axes and spears. To the right of the smashed gate, where the road passed through the wall, goblins swarmed over abandoned farmhouses. There had to be hundreds of goblins down there. Some worked to load barrels and other bundles onto wagons. Others chased after a group of fluffy grey animals who had apparently escaped from inside a battered wooden fence. The kobolds had taken over the other side of the road. Small groups of kobolds crept along the edge of the woods.
What are those?
Relka pointed to where huge, long-limbed creatures with rubbery green skin chopped a fallen section of wall into individual logs.
Trolls.
Jig hadn't seen one since his involuntary quest a few years ago. There had been a few trolls living down in the lower caverns with Straum the dragon back then. As far as Jig could tell, they had been eaten by the ogres. Being uneaten, these trolls were better off than the ones back home, but not by much. As far as Jig could tell, they were prisoners. They were chained together by metal collars, a bit like the goblins had been back at Avery.
And those monsters guarding them must be orcs?
The orcs wore dingy metal breastplates and shields, all painted a dull black. Or maybe they were just dirty. Either way, Genevieve would have appreciated their sense of style.
Look at them. They're so tough, the cold doesn't even bother them.
Most of the orcs kept their muscular arms bare. Though when Jig squinted through his spectacles, he could see a few shivering as they marched through the broken gate. And they did march quite close together, presumably for warmth. It was still an impressive sight. Jig wondered if the greyish tinge of their skin was their natural colouring or an effect of the cold. His breath caught as he glimpsed more orcs within the town walls. Between the kobolds and the goblins and the orcs, there had to be thousands of monsters gathered here. Strong monsters. Warriors and fighters who would have no problem defeating Genevieve's little band of soldiers. All Jig had to do was persuade them to help. As he watched, one of the goblins snuck away from the others to relieve himself on a rather out-of-place tree with thick, bare branches. The tree shivered, sprinkling snow. Then, before the goblin could react, the tree stomped him into the earth.
Oh, first rule, don't pee on the trees.
Right.
Jig watched as the tree wiped its foot in the mud, then wrapped several branches around the remains of the goblin. It lifted the goblin, bent back until the body nearly touched the ground behind it, and then snapped straight. From the trajectory, the goblin landed somewhere near the back wall of the town. One of the goblins broke away from the others and jogged up the road toward them, waving a sword in the air.
What are you worms doing away from your regiment? If Oakbottom catches you, he'll toss you all.
He's still convinced he can clear the far wall if he finds a light enough goblin.
Who are you calling worms?
Trock still carried his sharpened stick, and he jabbed it at the approaching goblin. Jig and Relka glanced at each other and took a quiet step back, leaving Trock to his fate. The approaching goblin was smaller than Trock, but his sword made up for any difference in size. His left ear was gone, sliced off at the scalp, and he was missing two fingers on his left hand. He wore a simple helmet of hammered metal, shaped like a bowl, with large crescents cut on either side for the ears. Given this goblin's handicap, his helmet listed a bit to one side.
Threaten a superior officer as grounds for summary execution.
He pulled out a flattened stack of stained, rat-chewed pages and waved them under Trock's nose.
Regulations also give the condemned soldier a choice. Would you rather I force feed you your own weapon or toss you to the trolls?
We're not soldiers. The humans attacked our lair, but we escaped and...
You mean you're here to enlist? Oh, wonderful choice. You won't regret it. I promise you that. I'm Gratz, corporal in the army of Billa the Bloody.
Gratz sheathed his sword and hurried over to clap Trock's shoulder. The move was so unexpected that Trock didn't even stab Gratz.
Joining Billa was the best choice I ever made. Changed my life. Come on, I'll take you to Silverfang.
Silverfang?
One of Billa's lieutenants. He's in charge of the whole goblin regiment. He'll be the one to decide whether you're fit to join us.
What if he decides we're not?
Don't you worry. Silverfang will find a use for you, one way or the other.
Right, the sooner we get to Silverfang, the better.
Growing up, Jig had learned to avoid the warriors whenever possible. So, whenever he saw warriors approaching, Jig would do his best to stay on the opposite side of the lair, along with the rest of the weaker goblins. Here in Billa's army, there were no weaker goblins, only Jig. He tried not to make eye contact, but he could feel them staring as he followed Gratz toward the walls of Pottersville. Slitted eyes peered out from crude tents. Mud-covered goblins working down by the river paused to look. Farther on, a line of goblins stopped stabbing stacks of hay to watch Jig. Why they were attacking hay was beyond Jig's comprehension, but better hay than him.
When can I get an axe like that? And that shield with the big spikes on the edge? I want one of those too. And that helmet with the animal horns on the sides. Oh,
one thing at a time. Recruits start off with standard arms and armor. Regulations give you the right to claim better equipment from the enemy. Or from the bodies of your fellow goblins. Just make sure they're dead first.
Gratz pointed toward the wall, where several wide planks of wood had been lashed together and propped up to create a makeshift cave.
First, you talk to Silverfang.
They passed a small cook fire, where two goblins were roasting one of the fluffy grey animals. Relka stopped.
That's not right.
What do you mean?
They're not even saving the blood. How are they supposed to make the gravy?
Gravy! With this slot, you're lucky to know where the meat ends and the bones begin.
As if to prove his point, the spit holding the animal broke and fell into the fire.
Oi! What's it? Me? That's your fault!
That's enough!
Both of the would-be chefs jumped. Neither one made a sound as the biggest, meanest-looking goblin Jig had ever seen ducked out of the wooden cave. Gratz snapped to attention.
Lieutenant Silverfang, sir.
A scar on the left side of Silverfang's face twisted his mouth into a grimace. His left fang had been replaced with a round steel spike, apparently held in place by the three small pins protruding from his jaw. He wore black plates of metal for armor, like the orcs Jig had seen in town, and on his back he carried a curved sword that was almost as long as Jig was tall. Silverfang's heavy boots crunched through frozen mud. His sword slid free, and both chefs closed their eyes. Silverfang thrust his sword into the burning animal. He hauled it into the air and flung it to one side, nearly hitting another goblin. He turned to jab a thick finger at the nearer of the two chefs.
Fetch another goat. Ruin this one and I'll make you eat the coals.
He beckoned the other chef closer, then grabbed him by the shirt. Turning that huge sword with one hand, Silverfang wiped the blade on the goblin's collar. When he let go, the poor goblin fell on his backside in his eagerness to scramble away. Silverfang turned to Gratz.
Fresh meat?
They want to enlist.
Silverfang came closer. His left eye was cloudy and oozed blue-black crud from the corner. He fixed the right on Trock. He then turned to study Relka. Finally, he turned to Jig.
You want to join Beerless Army? You're not even worth fitting to the kobolds.
That's Jig Dragonslayer! He's smarter and stronger than any warrior in your...
Stronger than me?
Silverfang stabbed his sword into the ground. With one claw, he traced the scar on his face.
A dwarf's axe did that. Took my tooth and my eye with one swing, and I still bested him. He forged his tooth before I tossed him to the wolves. Gather round, men! Let the little dragon slayer show off his battle scars.
But what?
Jig tried to back away. He bumped into another goblin who had come up behind him. Jig turned to find himself ringed by goblin warriors, most of whom shared Silverfang's disdainful smirk.
Your scars, to prove your experience and worth as a warrior. It's how we measure the experience of new recruits. Regulations even allow you to enlist at a higher rank if your scars meet certain criteria.
Jig is a warrior?
But wouldn't the best warrior be the one who didn't get stabbed? I didn't mean you're not a good warrior. I always...
Show us your scars. I'll give you some.
Jig's hand shook as he pushed back his sleeve.
That's a sword cut from a few years ago.
Jig pointed to a nasty gash on his forearm. He didn't think anyone needed to know it was self-inflicted. He pulled off his cloak. Tugging down the shoulder of his shirt, he pointed to a small, hard circle of pale skin.
That's from a wizard's arrow.
Jig turned around to show them the matching spot on his back, beside the shoulder blade. Jig tugged his shirt up.
I can't reach it, but there's another stab wound in my back, below the ribs.
Jig reached to touch the wrinkled scar on his ear.
I tore that in a fight with another goblin, years ago.
How did a runt like you survive all that?
Silverfang scowled, and Gratz's face went pale.
Sorry, sir. Didn't mean to speak out of turn. Won't happen again. My apologies. I'll make sure...
Gratz talks too much, but he has a point.
Silverfang grabbed Jig by the shoulder and spun him around, poking the arrow scar.
Most of this lot would have curled up and died from a wound like this.
Well, that's nothing. A tunnel cat clawed half my leg off once. I still killed that beast with my bare hands.
I was in the kitchen when you brought that beast in for Galaka. It was so old there was barely any meat. It was missing most of its teeth, not to mention a leg.
Relka pulled up her shirt, revealing the scar in the middle of her belly.
My wound was given to me by Jig Dragonslayer himself, for daring to challenge him. Not by some crippled old beast who gummed my leg a few times.
You shut up!
Trock drew back his leg to kick her. Silverfang was faster.
The next one of you acts up gets a sword. Got it? If the best warrior is the one who doesn't get stabbed, I guess you're one lousy warrior.
Definitely.
And I suppose you expect me to believe her nonsense about you slaying a dragon?
For once, Jig managed to keep his mouth shut. He doubted there was anything he could say that wouldn't infuriate Silverfang even further.
So does he qualify for enlistment at a higher rank?
Silverfang's fingers tightened around the hilt of his sword, and every goblin backed away.
First, they ought to prove themselves, don't you think? Take them to the wolf pens.
Jig followed Gratz through the camp.
Can you imagine if we had a chief like him? We'd chase those hobgoblins right out of our mountain. The humans and elves wouldn't dare set foot in our territory. Did you see how fast he hit me?
Do you think we could get him to do it again?
That was the same way when Billa came to our lair. All those goblins and orcs and even the kobolds. We had been living near a dwarven copper mine and mostly left us alone unless we ventured near the tunnels. Those tunnels used to be ours, but the dwarves ran us off. And the dwarves didn't stand a chance against Billa the Bloody. I'll never set foot in our territory again.
Ask him about our lair, Jig.
Me? What could you? Never mind.
The humans attacked our lair. They used magic to seal the entrance. Do you think Billa could beat them?
Nothing can stop Billa the Bloody. Armies, magic, even the gods.
Cocky little goblin, isn't he?
Unfortunately, regulations prohibit me from sharing our marching orders until Silverfang accepts you into his regiment.
What regulations? What are you talking about?
Gratz beamed and pulled out the folded papers he had shown them before.
I've written down everything Billa and her lieutenants have ordered since I joined up with her. Rules, punishments, every order from how to use your shield in combat to the best way to clean your fangs. These pages right here are what turn us into the most dangerous army in the world.
Where are we going?
You get to clean up after the wolves.
Gratz pointed. Up ahead, the walking tree they had seen before was lifting logs into place to reinforce what appeared to be a long, roofless building outside the wall. Oak Bottom, Gratz had called him. He had no joints, but the branches appeared to bend more where they forked into smaller branches. Jig saw no sign of eyes or a mouth, but the tree could clearly see what he was doing.
That's enough, Oak Bottom. Silverfang wants these three to feed the wolves today.
The tree tromped off, his roots digging deep, muddy grooves in the earth.
Normally, Oakbot cleans the pens. He's strong enough to take care of himself, and the wolves don't like the taste of wood, though. Oakbot tends to the wolves, and in exchange, Billa lets him toss as many humans as he likes when we go to war. Goblins and kobolds, too, if anyone falls out of formation. That's the one thing he actually seems to enjoy.
Gratz gathered up shovels and buckets from the base of the wall.
See, did you really face a dragon?
Oh, sort of. I faced him and then he smashed me into a wall. How big are these wolves?
Compared to a dragon, they're not so bad. I've been riding for close to a year now, you know. A goblin warrior on one of these wolves can take on a human on horseback.
And Silverfang wants us to clean up after them?
Does Silverfang make everyone do this before they can join?
Only the ones he doesn't like.
Gratz frowned as he led them around to an ironclad door. It looked like the door and wall had been ripped out of another building, then carried here, probably by that walking tree. Ropes and planks secured the mismatched sections of wall.
He made me do it, actually.
How did you survive?
Don't know that I should say. But there's nothing in the regulations against it. There were three of us, just like you lot. I stabbed the others in the back, pushed them in, and then shoveled out the pens while the wolves were eating.
Gratz pressed his face to the crack at the edge of the door.
They're beautiful animals. Take a look. Oh!
Trock practically shoved him to the ground in his haste to see.
They're enormous. Those things could toss a tunnel cat about like a toy. Do we get to choose which one we ride? When can we take them into battle?
Jig moved to another corner of the pen. The walls were tightly secured with loops of thick rope, but a bit of light still shone through. He pressed one eye to the gap. The beasts inside the pen were the size of small ponies. Jig counted 14 in all. Their teeth were the size of his thumbs, and they had an awful lot of them. Bristly brown fur covered their bodies. The fur stood straight up on their necks and backs, except where it was covered by heavy leather harnesses. One turned to snarl at Jig. Long tufts of fur dangled from the tips of the wolf's ears, an effect that might have been comical on another creature, such as one that wasn't currently gnawing on an arm. Any snow or plants here had long since been trampled into the mud. Red-brown earth was caked onto their legs and fur. Looking at the slick mess of mud and worse, Jig doubted he would be able to take two steps without slipping.
The big one is named Bastard. He's the pack leader.
Jig had no trouble picking Bastard out of the pack. He would be the one who had wandered over to casually lock his jaws around the throat of the one with the arm. The arm dropped to the mud, and Bastard snatched it up.
The one rolling around the back is smelly. Nobody rides him unless all the other wolves are taken. The one with the patchy fur is fungus. Ugly as the girl food Bastard just swiped. The one with a scarred muzzle and missing eye. Yeah, she tried to steal Bastard's food.
Jig barely listened as Gratz named the other wolves.
You're one of the forgotten gods, right?
That's right. We were cursed after...
And now Braff and I are your only real followers?
What can I say? Anyone's standards will slip a bit after a few thousand years of solitude.
So, if we goblins are all you have, why aren't you working harder to keep us from being eaten by wolves?
I'm a little busy here, Jig. Fight your own wolves.
The abruptness of Shadowstar's response left Jig too stunned to reply, and then Gratz was dumping shovels and buckets in front of the gate.
And make sure they don't get out of the pen. Silverfang gets really mad when the wolves escape. They gorge themselves on whoever's closest, and then they're too stuffed to fight for at least 3 days.
Relka was the first to move, picking up a battered shovel and walking toward the gate.
I'm not afraid. Shadowstar watches over me.
And laughs.
Only sometimes.
They do their business near the back. That's where Smelly keeps rolling.
Gratz handed shovels to Jig and Trock. Jig took the shovel with both hands. Gratz slammed face first into the door. He collapsed in the snow, holding his nose.
Ha! Good thinking, Jig.
Trock grabbed the bar, holding the door shut. Relka tried to push Trock aside, but he barely noticed.
Come here, wolves! Snack time!
Table the Shadowstar frowns upon the murder of our fellow goblins.
I'm not the one killing him. Shadowstar can talk it out with the wolves.
Maybe we could feed him one of those goats instead. Does Shadowstar say anything about killing goats?
I don't think so.
Jig grabbed Gratz's sword and glanced around. A few other goblins were watching them, but nobody tried to interfere. Trock seized Gratz's helmet.
Hey, that's right! He told us we were allowed to loot the dead. What else does he have worth taking?
I don't think he's dead yet.
Relka shrugged and started tugging at Gratz's boots.
Wait!
Relka backed away.
Trock, stop!
Why?
Did you want the belt? I don't think it'll fit you.
Jig shook his head. There had to be a better way to control the wolves. The goblins couldn't feed someone to the wolves every time they mounted up for battle. Jig knelt beside Gratz and poked him a few times.
You're one of the raiders. How do you keep them from eating you?
According to the manual, as a prisoner, I'm required to give you only my name and rank. You already know all that, so I don't have to tell you anything.
Fine. I'll open the door. Trock, you throw them through.
Of course, the manual also says that as victors, you're entitled to any spoils, like that blue sack dangling from me belt.
Trock held the belt while Jig slid the sack free. The smell of old meat and blood made his eyes water. He reached in and pulled out what felt like a rock wrapped in leather. Something sharp jabbed his palm. He turned the object over to see a thick yellow-green toenail.
Troll toes. The wolves love them. And trolls heal quick. You can get 10 toes a week from the healthy ones.
There had to be 30 or 40 toes in there. Jig stepped toward the pen and tossed one over the wall. Jig peeked through the crack in the doorframe as the wolves lunged for the toe. Bastard bit another wolf on the rump, and suddenly he was alone. He dropped to the ground and began to gnaw the toe.
Order them to sit. Now that they know you've got toes, they should obey. Make sure to reward them all when you're done. They'll remember if you don't.
Before Jig could move, Trock shoved him out of the way and yanked to open the door. Bastard leapt to his feet.
Sit!
The wolves obeyed.
Ha! It works!
Go on then. The sooner you start shoveling, the sooner you'll be done.
Relka was already following Trock into the pen.
I told you Shadowstar would protect his followers. And Trock too.
Jig tugged Gratz's sword through his belt, gritted his teeth, and stepped through the doorway.
Shadowstar isn't the one walking past hungry wolves to clean up 6 varieties of filth. No, he's busy with more important matters.
Maybe I just trusted you to take care of this one on your own, Jig.
Jig reached the back and stabbed his shovel into the nearest pile. Relka began reciting as she shoveled.
The wolves of Boar are drawing near. They only want to eat him. He shovels their filth with no fear. He trusts his god to guard them. Their furious howls he will not hear. He trusts his god to save him. He falls and gets scat in his ear. He trusts his god to wash him.
Jig threw the contents of his shovel at her. He missed, but it was enough to shut her up.
I like her.
Eventually, they shoveled the entire mess into buckets to be dragged into the woods and dumped. Jig made sure to feed troll toes to all of the wolves. He dropped a few into his pocket, thinking they might make a good snack for Smudge. He shut and barred the door behind him just as Silverfang arrived.
What are all three of you doing still alive? Haven't you cleaned the pens yet?
Trock pointed to the buckets. Silverfang turned to Jig.
You just cost me one of my good knives, runt. I had a bet with Gratz that there'd be nothing left of you but a few bones and scraps of that elf ugly cloak.
Silverfang bent to pull a knife from his boot, then slapped it into Gratz's hand.
So now are we part of your army?
Gratz, take them to get weapons and armor, and take your sword back from the runt. The orcs want us to send out a few more hunting parties to find those blasted elves that have been harassing our flanks.
Elves? What are they doing in human lands, sir?
Who cares? They've been snooping and killing Billa's officers for the last day or so with their damn bows. She wants them dealt with.
What about our lair? Our warriors are imprisoned at Avery and... Oh!
Silverfang grabbed the front of Relka's apron with one hand. He twisted the material so tight she could barely breathe, then lifted her off the ground.
You're part of Billa's army now. I said to get weapons and armor. The next time you run your mouth instead of obeying, I'll eat your face.
He tossed Relka to the ground and walked away. Jig prayed she wouldn't say anything stupid, but for once she kept her mouth shut. Gratz pulled out his parchment and an ink-stained quill.
Running your mouth instead of obeying. Punishable by having your face eaten.
Gratz tucked the regulations back into his shirt.
Come on, let's get your equipment.
And don't worry too much about Silverfang. He's much more likely just to turn you over to Oakbottom. I think he's lost his taste for goblin, to tell you the truth.
The town walls, what was left of them, rattled in the wind as Gratz led the goblins through a jagged gap. For the most part, the buildings inside were undamaged. Most were various shades of red, brown, and orange. As they passed, Jig saw that mud had been layered onto the wooden structures to give them their coloration. He half expected to see humans peeking out the doors, as they had done back in Avery. Gratz noticed him staring and grinned.
Most of the humans had already fled by the time we arrived. They're scared of us, Jig. We haven't fought a true battle in over a month, though Billa says we'll see real combat soon enough.
Jig and his companions were the only goblins in sight. Only orcs lived inside the walls. Everywhere Jig looked, he saw orcs hurrying between the thatch-roofed buildings or working to repair a broken wagon or hauling bundles of chopped wood. This was Jig's first time seeing orcs up close. Their grey skin was bumpy, with a greenish tinge. Their flattened noses reminded Jig a little of boar snouts. Many of the orcs had scarred faces, though the scars were a bit too precise to be battle wounds. The one carrying pots out of a home had three short lines running up the cheeks. Another, who was hauling a wagon full of blankets, had a broken line over her eyebrow. They all seemed to have a single scar beneath their noses as well.
Tribal scars. Each tribe of orcs has its own pattern, but they'll all have that scar on the nose. That's Billa's scar. All the orcs wear it to mark their loyalty.
They let Billa cut their faces?
They're orcs. They do it themselves.
We don't have to do that, do we?
No scars until you become an officer. Even then, only the orcs of Billa's tribe receive extra facial scars to mark their ranks. The rest of us get different marks on our arms.
Gratz pointed to a pair of orcs standing guard in front of a building with swirls of darker mud blended onto the walls. Pot shards hung from one corner of the roof. The orcs watched them approach. Neither said a word. Jig wondered how close the goblins could come before being cut down by those huge double-headed axes.
I need weapons and armor for these three. Lieutenant Silverfang's orders.
One of the orcs disappeared into the building. Jig stared in wonder. Back home, the guards would have been drinking stolen clack beer. Here they were actually guarding. The remaining orc was like a statue, barely blinking as she stared at the goblins. Though a statue wouldn't have had pimpled skin on her arms from the cold.
How many of them freeze to death?
A handful each week. They believe an orc who isn't strong enough to survive doesn't deserve to survive.
The first orc returned carrying an armload of leather and steel, which he dumped into the snow. Trok picked up one of the swords, if it could even be called a sword. The blade was a simple length of rusty steel, sharpened on one side. There was no crossguard. Twine held a bit of padding around the end for a handle.
What's this? Why can't I get an axe like yours?
Relka grabbed a suit of armor. Heavy pads of leather were sewn together to form a crude breastplate. She stared at the various straps which connected it to smaller pads.
Could I get a suit without an arrow hole? One that doesn't smell like blood?
The orcs ignored her. Jig picked up a helmet, a simple bowl of metal like Gratz wore. He placed it on his head, then yanked it off.
They're freezing.
Put it on! That helmet is your best friend! Not only can it save your life, but it also serves as a stool, a pillow, and a bowl for your meals. I know one fellow who uses it as a backup chamber pot, but I wouldn't recommend that.
The edge of the helmet pressed down on the air pieces of Jig's spectacles. Jig grabbed another suit of armor. Relka was having little luck with hers. Jig turned the armor about, then glanced at Gratz, trying to guess how everything fit together. If he put his head through the straps at the top, then those heavy pads would fall across his shoulders. The shoulder pads came nearly to his elbows, and the bottom of the breastplate brushed his thighs when he tried to walk. He pulled out the hood of his cloak, transferring smudge there so the armor wouldn't squish the poor spider. No matter how tightly he tied the armor straps, he still felt like a dried seed rattling about in a pod.
A little large, but it'll do.
Why do they bother guarding this garbage?
Gratz drew his own sword, which was far nicer than Trok's. He swung the edge of the blade into Jig's stomach. Jig staggered back. He tried to grab his knife, but he had donned the armor over his cloak and belt, so this involved sticking his hand inside the breastplate.
That's why. You wear your armor at all times, follow orders, and you might actually survive your first battle.
Before Jig could respond, a second blow slammed into his back. This one knocked him face first into the snow by the orc's feet. He rolled over to see Trok grinning down at him.
Hey, this is fun.
Trok raised his sword again. Relka slammed her own sword into his side.
Watch it. You almost hit my arm.
Trok thrust the blunt tip of his weapon into Relka's gut, and she doubled over.
That's enough. One of the first rules states that if you strike a fellow soldier, Billy gets her choice of your ear, your eye, or your hand. So she keeps discipline. And believe me, you don't want to be drawing her attention.
Does that mean Silverfang can't really kill me?
Oh, it's different when it's an officer doing the killing. Silverfang could kill every last one of us if he felt the urge. But then who would clean the wolf pens? Now come on, we've got elves to hunt.
Jig picked up the remaining sword. The weapon was horribly balanced, like someone had strapped heavy rocks to the end of a stick. Testing the edge on his cloak, he decided rocks on a stick might actually be a better weapon. Once they were away from the orcs, Gratz glanced around.
Bella brought along some orc smiths who make no swords. I think they deliberately blunt the edge. It's harder for new recruits to rebel when they're spending all their free time trying to hone their weapons.
What's that?
The building Relka pointed to was covered in large tiles. The doors had been ripped away, revealing an enormous brick oven at the rear of the building. The mouth glowed orange, and Jig could feel the heat from here.
Humans call it a kiln. They use it to make pots and such. I'm told this town's famous for it. I think the orcsmiths tried to use it as a forge, but they couldn't get it hot enough. The walls broke almost as easily as the pottery. I don't understand why Billet chose this place as a target. No real fighting, and no tactical value that I can see. But that's why I'm only a corporal, eh?
I could bake two bodies at a time! Three if they were dwarves! Glocka's oven is full of cracks, but this one... Do you realize how much faster I could cook? We have to get one from the lair, Jig!
Maybe we should figure out how to get into our lair first.
It doesn't sound like Silverfang's interested in helping us.
You're welcome to complain. You wouldn't be the first. Back when Billa first brought the orc tribes together, they didn't get along at all. They were stabbing each other every time you turned around. So Billa ordered that anyone who couldn't resolve their own problems should come see her.
And that worked?
I'd say that first day, there had to be 30 orcs lined up at her tent. Billa marched out, took one look, and ordered them all butchered for breakfast. Things have been a lot calmer ever since. Still, if you catch her in a good mood, yeah, she might listen.
Gratz continued toward the walls, leaving the goblins little choice but to follow. Jig didn't want to know what the punishment would be for fresh recruits found wandering through the town. Gratz waved to a small group gathered by the gate.
Oh, good, they're ready for us.
The shabby weapons and armor were similar to Jig's own, but it was the kobold who caught his attention.
A suffer?
Kobolds aren't worth much in a fight, but they're fast little things and the best trackers in this goblin's army. They're not too fond of goblins, though. Being assigned to help was his punishment among the kobolds. I wonder what this one did to get herself into trouble.
Hesafa's lips pulled back, showing off her teeth. Her yellow eyes never blinked. Jig wasn't sure how to read kobold expressions, but he suspected it was a very good thing that Billa's law prohibited her soldiers from killing each other.
Kobold! Make sure you stay at least 10 paces ahead of us and spell out procedures. The rest of you spread out far enough that your weapons can't touch if you start swinging. Keep your ears up and your eyes wide. Elves are tricky bastards, but we'll find them.
Only one elf. This way.
Jig kept his arms spread for balance. Hesafa had insisted on taking them over the frozen swamp. Dead trees and brown weeds jutted through the ice all around them, like an enormous version of the spiked pits the hobgoblins built back home. The sun was low, nearly touching the horizon. Hesafa seemed determined to lead them through every pool of mud, filth, and slime she could find, while somehow avoiding them all herself.
You can really track the elf through the swamps?
Hard to track elf over smelly goblin, but elf stink is here. Always to scent, goblin. Scent goes this way.
Up those icy bramble-covered rocks?
Goblin skin is so fragile. Try not to bleed too much. Spoils the scent.
Why would an elf be sneaking around here anyway?
Hard to say. Normally elves stick to themselves. They look at humans like short-lived savages. Kind of how humans see us, actually.
No, I mean, why here? What good can a few elves do against an entire army?
They're scouts. They shot a few arrows, killed an officer or two here and there, but mostly they're spying. It takes time to move an army. They want to know what we're doing and when we do it. If you can anticipate your enemy's actions, you can crush them.
What are we doing?
They're changing things. You said those humans attacked your lair. Well, Bella the Bloody is going to make sure no surface dweller ever threatens us again. Started a few years back, when Bella led her tribe against the trolls. She drove those trolls right out of their mountains. The trolls had nowhere else to go, so they started lurking about human villages, raiding their farms for food. Naturally, the humans didn't take kindly to this. Trolls, orcs, goblins, it's all the same to them. They began hiring adventurers to come into the mountains. They paid gold for every orc ear or troll head. So Billa, some of the other orc tribes, slew those who wouldn't follow her and led the rest into battle. They say the gods themselves were on her side that day. Snow blinded their soldiers. The wind fouled their arrows. Billa the Bloody sent those surface dwellers fleeing for their lives. Everywhere she goes, she draws new monsters into her army. She plans to conquer every last inch of this land. At least that was the plan. Turns out this land is a bit bigger than anyone realized.
Even Jig had to admit Billa's plan was appealing. Drive the surface dwellers back once and for all. No more adventurers sneaking into the mountain to kill goblins and hunt treasure. No more humans and elves dragging goblins off as slaves. After all these years, they would be safe. Was that why Shadow Star had sent him here? So Billa could protect them once and for all?
Not exactly. The danger isn't from the humans and elves.
Billa and her orcs?
No, something else.
Is it too late for me to start worshipping a different god? One who isn't so vague about his warnings? Maybe one who will tell me to stay in the lair where it's safe and eat hot rat stew and drink warm clock beer all day?
You want Rionysus Yellow Eyes, god of revelry, but I don't think he'd be interested in goblin worshippers. Jig, you and the other goblins are my window to your world. In my prime, with worshippers throughout the world, I probably would have been strong enough to sense exactly what threat you faced. But now, I'm sorry.
They finally left the swamps, climbing into a rocky, lightly wooded area.
How much further? I want to kill an elf.
Quiet! Smelly goblin.
Hesafa dropped to all fours, pressing her nose to the rock.
Is it elves?
Quiet means no talking. Elf scent smells like fruit and flowers. Better than goblin stink, though.
So what do your regulations say about stabbing a tracker in the back?
They're vague.
First goblins lie to kobolds, saying Hesafa stole metal. Then kobolds punish me by making me track for stupid goblins. Elf this way.
Where?
No!
An elven arrow pinned the two goblins together. Hesafa dove to the ground.
There! Hesafa tracked elf! Goblins, go kill it now!
Jig could see the elf standing halfway up a snow-covered tree. He balanced easily on a branch, not even disturbing the snow as he knocked another arrow.
Down!
The other goblins scrambled for cover, hiding behind trees and rocks and each other. There wasn't much cover on the rough hillside. The elf's second shot pinned a goblin's exposed ear to the earth.
Regulations say their best tack formation for a small group like ours is the grab and squeeze. No, spread out like a giant hand, then everyone closes in at once. As commander, I'm the middle finger, so I'll charge up the center. You three goblins are the thumb and pointer. To my left, Jig, you and the kobold are the little finger. You hit to the right. Now, go!
The goblins spread apart, running. Hesafa threw her short spear as she ran. The elf easily twisted out of the way, but at least he couldn't shoot anyone and dodge at the same time. Trox stooped to grab a rock, then threw it without breaking stride. The elf caught it. With a crooked smile, he threw it back. Trox ducked his head. The rock ricocheted off of his helmet. Trox staggered and toppled into the snow. Even from here, Jig could see the dent in the top of his helmet.